very nice to be here again. I always enjoy seeing everybody. And we love you all very much. And even though we feel we're doing exactly what God would have us to do, we do miss you a lot. And we're glad whenever we're here. Even though we're just across town, still isn't the same thing. So I'm very glad to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me. The church at South San Antonio is doing pretty well. We have a number of people attending or in the meetings. It's like here, I guess, if we could get them all to come one time, we'd fill it up. You know, but at least, you know, we get half of them coming half the time. So that's good. We really appreciate you sending Brother Trinidad and Lupe over, my mother, my parents, my in-laws. That's worked out very well for me, especially. I know the church is glad to have someone else to listen to. And it's been they've really taken a lot of burden off of me, especially lately. Work has really picked up, and so I'm very busy at work. And so it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing for me to have them there. And I know many of you were sad to see them leave, and I understand that. But we were very happy to see them come. And so we're thankful for that. I'd like to read one verse out of 1 Corinthians 9. And I just want to talk about a subject we all know about evangelism, but a point of it that we all know. But I would like to just rehearse a point. Maybe some of you here are new, and you know, some of us have been around for quite a while, and some of you have been around for a really long while to these evangelism conferences. Some of you have been to almost every one or every one of them. I'm sure Bill has been to every one of them so far. And others here might have been that many. And so, you know, it's kind of like when you pick up on a TV show. I don't know if you've ever started watching some TV show like two or three seasons in and you're kind of lost. You don't, and everyone else, you know, they speak the lingo and you don't. And so you're kind of, you know, what's going on? Maybe you're new here and just started coming in, and maybe you feel that way. So I just want to go and look at something that for some of you, I would ask you to just humor me if it's boring for you. I'm sorry, but I would like to go back and just look at something that most of us already know, but just explain a point that to me has been of great interest recently as I was thinking about the evangelism conference coming up. So I'm just going to read one verse out of 1 Corinthians 9. And we're going to read verse 18. It says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." The gospel being presented free. This is what, I mean, there's a lot of things we deal with in evangelism conference and when we talk about evangelism, but this is kind of a central theme of how we do evangelism.
That's right.
Now, it wasn't always the case this way. In fact, Jesus Christ set up two different methods or two different ways. He set them both up, and they're both legitimate. He set one up where he sent the apostles out one time and he tells them, you're going to go and you're not going to take anything with you, and wherever you go, you're going to preach, and the people you preach to are going to support you. That was one way. And then another time he set it up, right before he left, he said, now you're going to go, and this time you're going to take things with you, and you're going to go out, and you're going to support yourselves, basically. You're going to take from where you're going from, you're going to go, and you're going to preach, and you're not going to receive offerings. And he dealt with both of those. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he started his ministry, he really focused in or zeroed in on the second way. And because of that, and because of his very profound explanation, which we don't have time to get into in 1 Corinthians 9, really goes in and explains why he did that, which is, in my opinion, one of the most fascinating explanations of doctrine in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 9 and why he did it that way. But that's what he did. He went out and he went around the world preaching and he didn't take anything from the people he preached to. And because of that example, that's basically what we have tried to do. And our evangelists out of our church have done that, where we go out and we preach in Mexico or in Poland or in other areas, and we don't take anything from the people we preach to. Nothing.
Amen.
We only accept their friendship. And at the same time, for different reasons, we also don't give them anything.
Right.
Nothing. We don't give them anything, and we don't receive anything other than the gospel. Now, that's very important, I believe, and I think especially in this time, it's very important to evangelism that these principles be understood and they be adhered to. The gospel needs to be presented freely.
That's right. Amen.
And you know, free is an interesting concept. The whole idea that you think about it. It's amazing the expense that some will make to get free stuff. Now, I have friends that way, and you know who you are. I'm not going to call out names, but you know who you are here tonight. You'll stand in line 5 hours to get $50, a trinket worth $50. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand people that spend hours and hours invested in entering into these crazy contests and lotteries and all these different little things where you can maybe get something free. I look at the amount of time they spend to get it, and it isn't worth it. You'd be better off going to work and making a little bit of money and just buying what you want.
Yes, amen.
I look at these people that love this free stuff and they're not rich. It's obviously not really paying off in the long run. I mean, I really doubt Bill Gates is over there standing in line to get a free iPad.
Right.
And yet some people are willing to go to great lengths and great extremes to get something free. And it's really not the price of the matter. It's just the idea that they got something that was free. And it's like the greatest marketing idea ever is free. Of course, it's never free, but you know, they say free, and everyone just lines up. You can get people to line up around the block if you offer a free donut. And it's true. I mean, I remember one time I went by Krispy Kreme, and the line went all the way down I-10. And they had policemen standing, and they had a fire marshal, and they were giving away one free donut to every customer. Who would stand in line? Well, I would stand. Never mind. I like Krispy Kreme. Okay, that's right. I was the third bad one back in line. Don't make fun of my tent. Free is a good marketing ploy, and it's used by companies. You know, it's also interesting on the flip side of free is that is there some people that just don't like free. I mean, you cannot give some people, you cannot give them anything for free. If you charge them for it, they'll buy it. But they will not take anything for free. And I think some people are a little extreme on that. And at the same time, I kind of understand people like that. I don't really like free stuff. Because usually free stuff is junk stuff, and I don't like junk. Everyone wants to give away their garbage. Now, this is particularly important to mention in an evangelism conference. I don't think you ought to be giving missionaries stuff. In fact, in the Bible, I don't find them ever giving stuff to anything. They gave money, not stuff. They sold their possessions, it said, and gave the money. You want to know why people like to give missionaries stuff? Well, one is they like to get rid of their stuff in their garage. Well, look at here. We have 15 used tea bags. Let's send that down to the missionaries. That's one reason why people like to give stuff. Another reason why people like to give stuff is because it hurts less than giving cash. And it does hurt less. It's been scientifically proven that the further you get away from cash currency, the easier it is to give. And so when you give stuff, it doesn't hurt near as much to give something that costs you $5,000 as it is to give $5,000. For a long time in the churches where I've been an elder, we don't accept stuff. We don't accept anything but cash in the church. If somebody wants to give us an air conditioner, we don't accept it. They can sell the air conditioner and they can give the money. And then if we want to buy an air conditioner, we'll go down and buy the air conditioner we want to buy. And it's interesting that whenever I've had it many, many times, and I've never known it to fail. When they want to give us something, an object, we say, no, thank you. You can give the money. They'll never give that quantity of money. They would give us something worth $5,000, but they would not give the $5,000. I don't understand why, but it's been that way every time I've ever seen it play out. Another reason why people don't want to give stuff and want to give things away like that is because they want to keep control over it. Gary tells of a church he was in where somebody gave an air conditioning unit, and then he got mad and they came to the church the next Sunday and the air conditioning unit was completely gone. He just took it. Well, that's mine. I gave that and that's mine, and I'll take it when I want. And people have that mentality. If you don't think you do, just give me a brand new car and then see what happens while you feel when I sell it. Because I'm not going to drive a brand new car. I'll sell it and I'll keep the money. You'll say, well, I gave him a new car. I expected him to enjoy that. I didn't expect him to sell that and make a profit. See, you like having control over the stuff you give. When you give money, when you give cash in a box, you know you lose control. Some people like to give. And so because of that, some people, maybe you feel more like me, don't like free stuff. I don't want free stuff. People are offering me free stuff all the time and I turn it down. I'm not interested. I don't want your free junky Windows computer. I don't want it. I'll go buy myself a good Macintosh computer. I don't want free junk.
I don't want to owe people stuff. I think this whole idea of giving away birthday presents is just the biggest nonsense in the world. Why don't we all just call it even? My wife's sisters give my kids presents, so then we got to give them presents. Why don't I just give my kids what I want to give them, and you give your kids what you want to give them, and we'll all be even Steven. Crazy. What I tell my wife is we ought to do is just get the stuff, don't unwrap it. When their birthday comes along, just send it right back. Some people don't want free stuff because they're too proud to take something that's free. They think, well, there's a certain measure of wisdom to having a certain level of pride in saying, I'm going to earn my own way, and I wish in America we had more of that. We have about 44% of the population that doesn't think that way anymore. And they want everything to be free. There was a time when people said, if I can't earn it or if I can't buy it, I won't have it. And I think that's something that ought to be instilled in our children. You can't have everything everyone else has. Amen. And that doesn't mean you need to go beg and you don't need to go stand in a welfare line to get it. Amen. But there is an extreme, a bad extreme to which you take that to where you are above accepting help. And you may be a very sufficient person. And you may be a very capable person. But sooner or later, you're going to need some help. You came into this world needing someone to wipe your butt, and that's how you're going out again. You're going to need help real soon in your life, and you better learn to accept help and be thankful for it. And so free is interesting, but as we talk about the gospel and why the gospel's free, there's some reasons, some logical reasons why the gospel should be free. Now, Paul's primary reason here is brilliant, and that's not the one I really want to go into, but let me just reference to it briefly. His reason for saying he preached the gospel for free is just, in my opinion, one of the most breathtakingly brilliant innovations or insights, I should say, into God's way of thinking. And his basic argument was this. If Paul preached for free, then God owed him. That was basically the reasoning in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, if I receive offerings for preaching, then that's my reward. But if I don't receive offerings, then I have a reward in heaven. That's essentially what he's talking about. Incredible idea. For Paul saying, I can take something that is my duty to do, and I can just make a little tweak to it and make it become something that will gather reward. You got to remember back what Jesus said, where he said that when the servant does what he's told to do, he's unprofitable. So the dilemma comes, if we're servants and we're doing what we're told to do, how can we then excel? And Paul says it's simple. Just don't receive any reward for it here. And then you have done above and beyond the call of duty. And that's basically the argument in 1 Corinthians 9, which I believe is a brilliant argument he makes. But there's a few other things I think we ought to consider of why this church and these evangelists preach the gospel for free. One reason is because if the gospel isn't free for everybody, then it really isn't free for anybody. See, when companies say they're giving you something free, the CEO is not reaching into his bank account paying for your thing. That cost is just divided among those who are actually going to pay for it. That's figured in. That's a marketing cost, and it's figured in to the overall budget of the company. It's really not free. Other people are paying for it. When you say, well, the government's giving away money. No, they're not.
That's right.
They just are getting it from the people that are still paying taxes.
That's right.
That's not free. The only way you're really doing it for free is if it's free for every single person.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just deferring the cost to the ones that are paying.
That's right.
And so when we make the gospel free, we're not just making it free for people that can't afford it. It has to be free for everybody.
Right.
Or it's not free for anyone, really. Another reason why the gospel has to be free is the obvious reason that it's the only way it would be truly accessible. If it's not free, it's not truly accessible. Because there's always going to be someone who can't afford it. You know, it doesn't matter how cheap something is. If you don't have money, you can't afford it. I know that most children today don't understand that concept. I lived 38 years without understanding that concept. If it doesn't matter how much it costs, it matters how much you have.
Yeah.
See, credit cards, they tend to make you... Well, we won't get into that. Anyway. It has to be completely free or it's not really accessible. There are people that could not pay the least amount if it was for charge. Now, we could talk about money, but we could also talk about any other form of payment for the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is why works-based salvation is one of those most nonsensical doctrines ever devised.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, the religion says we're going to make it cheap. But cheap to the poor man is very expensive. And so the gospel must be free for it to be truly accessible.
Amen.
It also has to be free for it to be priceless. It doesn't matter how much you know, one problem with charging a little bit for something is that it makes it seem worthless.
Yeah.
And so to make the gospel really be of value like it is, you'd have to charge more than anybody could ever possibly. In fact, you couldn't ever charge enough.
Right.
You cannot charge enough to make it as priceless as it is. The only way you can make it priceless is by saying it cannot be charged for at all.
Right.
This thing is so valuable, it's so important, that if we put any amount on it, any value on it, it would devalue it.
That's right.
And so the only way we can really represent its true value is saying it's free.
Amen.
Which brings that out that when you put a price on it, it devalues it. It doesn't matter what price you put on something, it's going to devalue. Also, if you only make it free for some people, that devalues it as well. You know what happened if GM just decided, you know what, we're going to give away half our cars. You know what your car would be worth tomorrow? Half as much. So if we went around and we just charged for some of it, but not for all of it, well, that devalues for everybody and everything. The gospel must be free. So another reason it must be free is because it must be an act of love and not an act of pity. When you make it cheap, that's pity. When you make it free, that's love. And I mean really free. Now the question is this. How do we make the gospel free? Well, we make the gospel free because we send people and we support them. And we keep them on the field so that they can preach the gospel free in other places. But that means that this is not a venture, a business venture, that is going to at some point have a life of its own and no longer require of your input.
That's right, amen.
Now that's what we all would kind of like. We think, man, we've been having these mission conferences for over 30 years. It seems like by now, you know, it would, you know, we got the ball rolling and we could just all kind of, you know, sit back and just watch it go. Not if it's free. Now, if we were charging for the gospel, we would probably be there by now. But if we're going to preach the gospel for free, that's going to require continual investment on your part. See, if you were a commercial fisherman, well, it would support itself. But if you're a hobbyist fisherman, you support it. You see the difference? The difference between work and play is you get paid to work and you pay to play. Doesn't make any sense, but that's how it is. The gospel being free means that you and I are required to continually invest again and again, and there's no end in sight. Now, that may not be what you wanted to hear tonight. You maybe wanted to hear that, okay, how much are you guys asking for? Let's just get it out of the way right now. Let's just get out the checkbook. Tell me, slide me a number across the table, and I'll write out a check, and then we'll just, you know, move on to other things. What we're telling you is that next year at this time, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be right here again because the gospel's free.
Right.
It is going to require more investment.
That's right. Yeah. That's true.
And until the Lord comes, we're going to have to continue to invest in the gospel if we want to present it for free. Now, if we want to change over and we want to make a business side of it where we charge for it and it kind of, you know, we kind of prime the pump and then it just pumps itself and it keeps going. Well, that's one way of doing it, and some people might do it that way. And that's fine. I'm not here to criticize any other method of the gospel. The Lord will make those judgments. But I really am keen on this idea of preaching the gospel for free. I think it's a good idea. I think it's the right way of preaching the gospel, at least for me. And I think it's the right way for us. But that means that you and I really have some further commitment that we need to make. That means that we're going to have to continue to send people to the mission field. The goal of starting these churches in Mexico isn't that they'll take over and then we can rest. That isn't the goal at all. They have their own work to do. And they have their own debt to pay. We can't say, well, we started those churches and they're now sending out missionaries, so they've taken over for us. We can retire. We have our debt to pay. Paul had a great number of disciples out preaching the gospel, and yet he continued to insist that he was a debtor to all men. We're going to have to continue to send people to the evangelism field. You may come here today saying, well, we already have evangelists, or we already have works. And so we're just here to hear about what's going on over there. That's not why we're really here. We're here to see if some of you are not being called to invest in your lives in the gospel being free.
Amen.
And that's what we're here for. Amen. We're here to tell you that we need continued investment as far as it comes to money.
Right.
That's why we're here. Now, I told you that Paul's his reasoning in 1 Corinthians 9 is brilliant. But even more brilliant than Paul's reasoning in 1 Corinthians 9 is what the churches reasoned after Paul had said that. And that when they heard that, they said, that's a good idea. How can we get in on that? And so what they did is they started sending offerings to people who did nothing for them. Didn't preach to them, didn't help them, didn't minister to them. We'll send them offerings. We don't owe them anything, but we'll send them money. And then God owes us too.
Yes, that's right.
And that's how that works.
Yeah, amen.
And so you can invest in the gospel with your time and with yourself and with your money and with your children. And if you want the gospel to be free, if you want that to be more than just a marketing scheme, which is it is, I fear, for many Christian churches, saying the gospel's free is really some sort of a marketing scheme.
Yep.
We don't want that. We want it to be really free. We want to be able to say with all clean conscience that like John said, as the noblest of compliments, we took nothing from the Gentiles.
That's right.
Well, then we're going to have to really roll up our sleeves and realize that we may have come a long ways and we may be a little tired and some of us may wish that we could retire or we could set back or let others continue. But if we want the gospel to be free, each one of us is going to have to invest in every way imaginable, so that the gospel can be truly free and free for all.
Amen. Amen.